As I thought about today during the week, the three candidates who were baptized this morning came to mind. And of course, I assumed that they told their families and close friends of their scheduled baptism, and indeed we have some who were friends and family who came and attended this morning. But I wondered, how would casual acquaintances, how would classmates of Brittany, how would new friends made in the future by these three ladies be aware of this awesome event which took place in their lives today? So my question to these three and to all of you who have been baptized is, how will people know you have been baptized? I read a story of a 10-year-old boy who walked into his pastor's office one Monday afternoon late, and he told the pastor he needed to talk to him. He was fresh from baseball practice, and he had on his Atlanta Braves hat, and he had a request for the pastor. He said, "I want to be baptized." He explained that his Sunday school class had been studying about Jesus and about baptism, and that the teacher had asked how many of the kids had been baptized, and everybody except him raised their hand. Using his best pastoral voice, the pastor said, "Well, do you want to be baptized just because everybody else is?" The young boy wrinkled up his freckled face and said, "No, I want to be baptized because it means I belong to God." Well, the pastor, of course, was touched by this young boy's understanding, and he said, "Well, how about 2 weeks from this coming Sunday?" Well, the boy's smile turned to a concern, and he said, "Well, will I have to be baptized in front of all of the people at the church? Can't I just have a friend baptize me at the lake?" And the pastor said, "Well, where did you come up with such an idea?" "Well," the boy said, "Jesus' cousin John baptized him in the river." And caught off guard by this remark, the pastor conceded that the boy had a valid point. But he said, "If you are baptized by a friend in the river, how will the church recognize your baptism? How will people know that you have been baptized?" And the pastor was thinking all this time, this is an opportunity for a teachable moment. You know, I'll get a scripture and read a scripture and we'll talk about this. So he started reaching for his Bible. And before he could place his hand on it, the boy said, "By my new way of life, they'll know I've been baptized." The pastor never picked up his Bible. The boy's understanding was far from childish. It was indeed profound for a young man 10 years old. Because baptism calls for us to live a new way of life, calls for us to conduct ourselves, to involve ourselves in activities which glorify and worship Jesus, and calls us to live our lives like Jesus lived his as best we can. And I want us to look at our text this morning and see what it says about how people will know if you've been baptized. It's found in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one that was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. So here in this text, Paul was on his third missionary journey with Apollos. And he had promised the church at Ephesus that he would return and visit them if it were God's will. So he left Aquila and Priscilla there at Ephesus at the church to carry on while he was away, to build up this new church called a Christian church. The scriptures inform us that while they were at Corinth, Apollos stayed there and Paul traveled to Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire, and its population was approximately 250,000. So you can imagine it was not a small village. And Paul is there and he's looking for those who have been following Christ and those who have come to follow Christ since he's been there. And we're told through the scriptures that as he travels through the city, he found 12 men that he called disciples. Now, Paul may have come across this group while they were gathered to worship. And as usually is the case in the New Testament, only the men were counted. So when Paul says there were 12 men, probably there were 12 families, and it could have been as many as 30 or 40 people gathered together. Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit." Paul asked this question to gauge where they were in their faith, to know how far along in their walk with following Jesus they had accomplished. And from the letters Paul wrote to the various churches, we know that he could recognize if a person was a believer in Jesus. He knew if one had passed from the death of sin to a life of service to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit resided in that person, because a Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and all Christians are baptized into one Spirit, the Holy Spirit sent from God. Remember when the crowd at Pentecost asked Peter, when Peter admonished them for crucifying the one that God had sent as their Lord and Savior, they asked him, "What can we do to be saved?" And the verse I read in at the beginning of our ceremony this morning, of our baptismal ordinance this morning, was what Peter responded. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is a promise from God. We've talked about this many times from this pulpit. There has never been one scintilla, one iota of evidence that God has not fulfilled the promises that he made in his word. And he is not going to fail to fulfill those promises today. So those who are baptized have the Holy Spirit. They receive that gift. By asking if these men had received the Holy Spirit when they believed, Paul was asking the defining question as to whose disciples they were. Because there were some religious figureheads, some religious people in the communities that Paul ministered to, that they claim to be the one that the people should follow. So he would often ask the people who they believed in or who had they received the Holy Spirit to determine that if they were Jesus' disciples or not. Because if they were Jesus' disciples and had trusted him for their salvation, then they would have the Holy Spirit. But they responded, no, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus spoke concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. God the Father and the Son live in us through the Holy Spirit. The disciples that Paul met in Ephesus had not heard of Jesus' teaching regarding the Holy Spirit. So Paul asked him, you know, from whom did you receive your baptism? And they replied, John's baptism. Since they did not know the Holy Spirit, Paul surely wondered whose baptism or what baptism they received. Who were they following? Who was their leader? They had only heard the message of John and were baptized by John. And Paul says, you know, he doesn't say this is wrong. Oh, you know, this is horrible. He says, okay, John's baptism was one of repentance. But now he says, you must believe in the one coming after John. That's what John was teaching. You must believe in the one coming after John, who is Jesus. And he said, on hearing this, we read that they, meaning the 12 disciples that Paul spoke of, and maybe even more of their families, were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands upon them to baptize them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. In the new covenant that Jesus represents, the Holy Spirit fills each and every believer once they believe in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are manifested in them. And the gifts are still important in believers today. They were extremely important at the time of the New Testament. And that's why quite often some of those who were baptized spoke in tongues. And they received that gift. And some prophesied and they received that gift. And the gifts of the Spirit are most important today. They are very essential to the body of Christ. We need people with various gifts in order to carry on God's work and to minister in His name. The Paul told the church at Corinth, the Corinthians, that if they were in Christ, they would become a new creation. The old will be gone. The new will have come. Is this how you describe your life now that you've been baptized? Have the old ways, habits, sins gone and the new Spirit of God come? Or is there a little difference between the old you and the current Holy Spirit-filled Christian you? How can you be sure? How can we be sure that a new creation has occurred. You will know because the Spirit of God will produce in you a God-like life. This new life is described by Paul in the letter to the church at Galatia. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, if the Holy Spirit, if you have been baptized, the Holy Spirit is promised to you. And if that Spirit is in you, the first evidence will be the love of God flowing from you to others. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. We can claim we are in the light and have received the Holy Spirit, but if we do not love, we're simply deceiving ourselves. Joy is also an evidence of the Holy Spirit, as well as patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. The Holy Spirit-filled person will know an inexplicable peace, a peace which passes all understanding. Now, I would be foolish to stand up here and to say to you that a believer must express all the qualities of the fruits of the Spirit perfectly all the time, because we are far from perfect. We know that no one walked this earth save Jesus Christ that was perfect. But let the fruits of the Spirit flow from your very being. Spend time in prayer with the Lord. Love His Word. Let it permeate your life. Be filled with overflowing. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And let His fruits be manifested in your life. Be mature in your faith. And let the Holy Spirit transform you and conform you into the image of Christ. How will people know you have been baptized? The young boy in that illustration probably said it best: by your new way of life. Amen. It is as simple as that. And if you have been baptized, and most of you have, and if you're not living your life in accordance with the fruits that the Holy Spirit can bring you, they may be there, but you just aren't manifesting them. For some reason, Satan has whispered in your ear and say, well, you don't need to be faithful. You don't need to love this person or this group of people. You don't need to have self-control all the time. If that's the way you've been living, you need to get on your knees and ask for forgiveness and start living the life that you can live with the Holy Spirit. If you have not been baptized, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, what a way to start, to do that today, to come forward and say, I've accepted the Lord as my, accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I want to follow Him. I want to receive the Holy Spirit into my life so that I can be the best person I can be and to be an example to my husband or wife or schoolmates or friends. If the Holy Spirit has convicted you and placed that on your heart, we invite you to come forward this morning as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 64, God Will Take Care of You.